Second to last day of the season. Welcome to Early BP. I'm Mike Farron. Last night, D-backs got win number 83 and the big blow from Jake Lamb.
Lamb, a fly ball, deep right field. He's put the Diamondbacks on top with a long home run. Jake Lamb way over the pool, a three-run shot. And all of a sudden, the Diamondbacks have got the lead here. It's a four-run eighth inning, a pinch homer for Lamb.
First of all, lemon meringue tonight?
Yeah, I can't stand the lemon meringue. But
really?
Yeah, Jonesy keeps pieing me with this, so I guess I'll wear it.
How good does that feel tonight?
I felt really good. It's no secret to what kind of year I've had, but, like I was just telling those guys, I'm continuing to work and, work on the swing and trying to get that feel and... I'm used to doing things like that, is to be completely honest and, coming up in those situations. I love that. I love, having the pressure on me and coming through for my team.
You, the last week or so, have been, it seemed like, picked up a lot more hard contact. What were some of the adjustments you were working on that got you to that?
Just getting in a better position at the plate, not falling forward so much, trying to be, more calm at the box, slow it down, start everything earlier, and just be on time.
And it certainly worked out tonight. Jake, thanks so much. Congrats.
All right, thank you.
D-backs play game two of the series, second to last game of the year tonight with Robbie Ray on the mound against Garrett Richards for San Diego. We'll talk about the pitching this season and what to look forward to next year with Torrey Lovello in just a little bit. But it's Saturday. We talk about the D-backs in the community. And today we visit with the president and CEO, Derek Hall. Every Saturday this year, we've had a chance to visit with a member of the D-backs organization about the work being done in the community. And with this being the final Saturday of the year, it's only fitting that we sit down with the president and CEO of the Diamondbacks, Derek Hall. And it's been another great year of giving and giving back. And I'm just kind of curious what some of those moments were for you that really stand out this year.
Well, Mike, I just look in totality, you look at the season, and once again, just a record year for us to raise over $9 million and be able to give $6.5 million of that back and so many different programs and initiatives. The thing that I'm most proud of is there aren't a lot of groups that we say no to, and we try and embrace as many as we can and impact as many lives in Arizona as we can possible.
I know we talked earlier this summer about the work that Eduardo Escobar had done in the community, but I just love this, the not saying no, right? And the story of North High School coming in, asking, and not just receiving almost immediately the equipment that they needed, but having Eduardo there too. What does that say when people reach out? What is it that allows you guys to react so quickly?
Well, first off, we understand our... We understand our social responsibility. We consider ourselves a community asset. We can give back. We can make a difference. So we like when they reach out to us. What's even more amazing, though, is like you mentioned, when a player like Eduardo, who truly cares, wants to be a part of it, but he doesn't only do that, as most people see. He then comes to us and comes to our community department the very next day and says, I want to do more. He takes the PR staff and the community staff out to dinner on an off night this past week and says, can we map out what we're going to do this offseason? That's unusual. That's unique. But it says a lot about the players that we have, about the culture that we've created here. Everyone gives back to the community. It starts with ownership. It's through our front office all the way to the players and the coaching staff. It's everyone.
What are some of the things that are coming up? Because obviously the giving doesn't stop when the season stops.
It doesn't stop at all. Right away we start focusing on veterans and those that are serving the military and have protected us for so long. And we have our golf tournament, which is a huge hit, as you know. We gear up for next year as well. We start planning for Evening on the Diamond. That's our big annual event, as you know. This last year we raised almost $3 million there. That's important because we take those dollars, we give them away in the form of Ken Kendrick Grand Slam Awards, over $100,000 each. Sometimes we're able to give 5 to 7 to 10 of those away, all of the grants that we give away as well, but it just doesn't stop. And then as before you know it, it's already spring training. We've got our race against cancer where we had a record registration number, near 3,000 people participating. This community cares so much. You look at our 50-50 raffle at an all-time high as well. When you're raising money for like the Guadalupe Fire Department with Luis Gonzalez, who by the way really sets the tone and example as a former player, as he did when he was in uniform as well. And we look and it's over $150,000 in the 50-50 raffle. It's great that our fans have made themselves over $1.2 million this year, but look what that does for the community, or through the community, for our community affairs and everyone else in the community as a result of those dollars raised.
That's one of the neatest things about that, too, is that if you're in the state of Arizona, you can play, and it's amazing how many ballparks we go to and we see the 50-50 raffles, $1,000 or something like that over the course of the game. I don't think ours is ever below 15 grand.
No, it's amazing. And again, it's because this is another way for our fans to give back, and they really get into it. They, watch that number grow. They want to be a part of that number. You know, I remember a few years back with the Yarnell Fire, that disaster, that tragedy. We asked our fans to reach in their pockets. They did. That was the first time we got over $100,000. And then the floods in Texas, we did it again. And here we were this year, you know, for the Guadalupe Fire Department. I just love when they get involved. But you're right. I think other teams have now asked us, how you doing? How can we do it? We want to raise dollars like you. But this community is absolutely remarkable. And, you know, we do it with them. And that's the most beautiful part of all of this.
Is there one thing or two things that you're proudest of this season?
Yeah, I think, again, just the continuation of the growth of our youth jersey program, I think, first and foremost. The fact that we were able to do the numbers that we did. When you're looking at like 700,000 kids that you're able to put in jerseys and hats, and it's not just the marketing of them wearing jerseys with D-backs on it. It's more so that they can take those dollars, their biggest challenge, and now they can build fields, they can build concession stands, they can waive entry fees. It's wonderful. In addition to that, I would say those food pantries that we're now building at the schools, because hunger is a huge issue. And when these kids might go home on a Friday and they don't know where their next meal is coming from, you talk about uncertainty until they're back in school on Monday. Well, now they can go in without being embarrassed. They can have a backpack, fill it up with food and nutrition, and take it home, share it with their families, because we do know that education and nutrition go hand in hand.
If folks want to give back and contribute, they always can through the D-backs Foundation page, correct?
Absolutely. The best way is to go online at dbacks.com, scroll through the community, see how you could help as well, because there are several ways, and we're very proud.
It's been a great year off the field and a fun one on it. Derek, we appreciate the time, and I know we'll see you in a few innings as you break down the season with Greg and Tom.
You got it, Mike. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Derek Hall, President and CEO of the Diamondbacks, joining us on the BP Show, Diamondbacks Radio Network.
And for more on the work the D-backs will be doing all winter long in the community, you can go to dbacks.com/community. There's more information on the grant programs there. Last night, gave out $10,000 STEM awards for science, technology, math in schools. And so a lot of stuff that's still going on, even through the winter. Go to dbacks.com/community, and you can learn more. All right, let's start pitching with Torey Lovello.
Well, Torey, we took stock in the offense yesterday. Let's take stock pitching. What did you feel overall about the way the pitching staff performed this season?
Well, I think as a whole, they did a very good job. At times, they carried us this year. There was some offensive struggles and inconsistencies, but the pitching remained very constant. And, you know, I guess we'll look at it in two ways, two halves. Prior to the trade of Zach Greinke and then post-Zach Greinke, mm-hmm. I think starting pitching-wise, we were fantastic before Zach got traded, and the bullpen was more than adequate. We had some roles that we were adjusting in the bullpen, and of the two areas, I felt like the bullpen maybe was a little bit inconsistent, and that stemmed from Archie Bradley struggling and trying to find out some roles and adjusting guys' space down there. But post Zach Greinke trade, I think the starting pitchers that were here have done a fantastic job, and then the bullpen has picked up their workload and done their job. So you know, I'll break it up into four categories. I think four segments, pre and post trade deadline, I think we're in a much better place today than we were early in the year.
You mentioned the bullpen, and I'm glad you did, because I think even statistically it looks like it was a pretty good group. But what's going to be fresh in the minds of everybody is the struggles that they had through the month of May. And that, seeing as you were six games under 500 in that month, it looked pretty similar to the bullpen in September last year, which statistically was very good up until the final month. What has to happen for you guys to avoid that 30-day stretch where things just seem to go south?
Yeah, we want to avoid those gaps at all costs. And like the hitters, you know, you want to lose two games in a row and not have a good offensive output instead of six or seven. And we want to condense those gaps and make sure that these guys go out and find a way to get the job done no matter what the circumstances are. I think that you got to find some leadership in the bullpen. I think with Archie's struggles and the way he was counted on as a leader, he was trying to find his own way. And I think that started in May, where he started to get banged around a little bit. To compound some things, you know, the closing situation was fairly fluid through the course of the first half. Greg was doing a great job, but he started to get a little bit wobbly as well. So combining those two things, I think the leaders of that club of that bullpen need to step up, get the job done. And if somebody isn't, it's time for a new person to step in. I think Yoan Lopez was doing that at times. but it never really seemed to get the continuity that we needed. But I think getting a couple guys, a couple new arms in the second half or the post-All-Star or post-trading deadline, such as Kevin Ginkle, have really solidified some roles.
Ginkle and Crichton are the two names that keep coming up as those young guys. So how do you – what do you view as being keys for them for 2020 to pick up where they left off?
Yeah, well, I think Ginkle had come in with a lot of fanfare and notoriety. He's a guy that was blazing a trail through the minor leagues this year, and we were happy to get him, and he jumped right into that high-leverage spot late in the game, and I think we started to win a number of one-run games. Crichton was a different story. He kind of grinded his way through the year last year, having some arm surgery and then getting healthy, and he was up and down several times. And he earned his stripes by just coming in and being very consistent with every outing that he had. I want these guys to understand that they got to figure out how to stay at that level. They got to have a healthy offseason, which we anticipate happening with two more games to go. And then once they get to spring training, to make sure that they're ready physically and ready emotionally. The second year for young pitchers at times can be a little bit of a challenge because you think you got it made. We're not going to let them be complacent this year.
With the way Archie has pitched, specifically in the second half, do you feel far more settled about the end of games going into this winter than you did in the previous two?
Yeah, I think we can start with Archie. I'm not saying that he's going to be given the closer role. We haven't said that even right now, but he's acted as our closer, and I think he's done a fantastic job. So as we're starting our conversations, I think his name is going to be in the forefront of my mind for sure. I love the way he's come in and attacked hitters, and he's earned every save. Nothing is given to any pitcher at any time during the course of a year. With Archie's struggles early on and how he's doing his job right now, I think he deserves strong consideration.
Knowing that it's unlikely that this front office is going to spend big on the bullpen, are there enough leaders down there outside of Archie to help avoid those issues that you fell in going into next year?
Yeah, you know, you dialed in. Those are very good questions. I think we're a very savvy front office that's going to spend in the right places. So we got to identify where those soft spots are. So if it is in the bullpen, we'll find out who it's going to be and we'll add that guy. But if it's not, I feel like we have a complement of players that could do the job. If you're talking about Andrew Chafin and Crichton and Bradley and Lopez, that's a really good starting point. And Ginkle, that's a really good starting point. So the add-ins, the guys that I failed to mention, we like that that jumping off point. We feel like we'll be in good shape there.
Do you think you have enough rotation innings going into next year?
No, that's a good question. A lot will be contingent on how healthy Taiwan comes back, and we feel like Luke's in a very good spot health-wise. Those are two big horses that we're going to be counting on. But you know, the fill-ins that we had this year, such as Young and Duplantier and Clark, could step in and have that extra experience. We're not sure, but you can't have too much starting pitching. So we love where we're at. So it seems like we have six or seven guys, maybe eight, that we'd be considering for next year. I like that starting point.
All right, Skip, go get tonight.
Thanks so much.
D-Max skipper Torrey Lovello, and we are just about ready for baseball tonight. BP shows at 4:30, first pitch with Greg and Tom at 5:10. Ray and Richards in the penultimate game of the season. We'll talk to you tomorrow for a final early BP.